up. I honestly think we have a good chance of not only lessening your pain, but helping you truly move forward. This program has a 70% success rate. And what happens if I'm one of the 30? I don't think you are. This isn't something you have to decide today, Morgan. I'll call in your prescription to the local pharmacy. We definitely want to keep the anxiety attacks under control, but I'd also like to treat the underlying cause, not just the symptoms. She rose to her feet. No amount of therapy will make me miss him any less. She walked me to her door. Give me 4 months. Just think about it. You meet with me once a week. You do the homework. You'll feel the results. But you would need someone to help support you through it. I'm all alone, I shrugged, shutting the door on the possibility. A corner of her mouth lifted. Well, like I said, just give it some thought. And while you're over there telling yourself that therapy isn't going to help you, I want you to think about the fact that you just told me what happened to Will without having an anxiety attack. She opened her door, and I walked into her small, comfortable lobby where another patient was already waiting. Maybe she'd help him through whatever he was going through, because there wasn't a through it for me. Give it to me straight, I said to the fourth contractor Joey had brought out to look at my property in the last 2 days. At least this guy was closer to our age and didn't look at me like I'd lost my mind or suggest a complete teardown. He scratched his well-trimmed beard and looked back at the house from where we stood on the driveway.
Well, how much money do you have?
Come on, Steve! Joey snapped, folding her arms across her chest. Grayson's older sister had cut her dark tresses to a bob in the years since I'd seen her, but there was no mistaking her for cute when she arched that eyebrow.
Don't be like that, Joey. You asked me for my opinion, and I'm giving it. That house is a wreck. You need a new deck on both levels. Hell, I'm surprised they're still standing. Honestly, new siding, new staircases.
I left out the tidbit where I'd already fallen through the landing. Okay, but structurally? I prodded, hoping the inspector had told the truth on the report I'd seen before closing.
In that, you lucked out. The foundations around the boathouse and pillars are sound, but they both need better drainage and waterproofing. The bones are good. Shape is great for deflecting wind, but it could use a dose of stormproofing, or you're probably going down in the next Cat 3. I'm surprised she made it through this last one, and she took some damage for it. Definitely needs a new roof, and that weather vane looks like it's about to break off any minute.
He pointed up to the heavy brass arrow that spun circles on my roof when the wind changed. It stays, I said. Reinstall it or whatever, but I like it. Arrows were supposed to be meaningful, right? Getting pulled back to release farther and faster or something. Besides, if it had survived the storms for this long, who was I to yank it down? He sighed.
Miss Bartley, the weather vane is the least of your problems. Your electrical system needs to be completely overhauled. I don't know who thought it was a great idea to put a secondary panel in a room that's literally built to flood.
And it just keeps getting better. By grace, the house was just as much of a mess as I was. A long shadow came up parallel with mine, and I knew from the general shape that Jackson was its owner. I wanted to feel annoyance, or a little of that temper that had flared when he'd insinuated that I couldn't fix my own damn house. But neither came. Just a quick kick to my pulse, and a weird sense of relief. Only because he's already pulled you out of the shit once. And don't forget, he's seen your underwear, too. I mentally cringed for the 4 billionth time. He came close enough to nearly brush my shoulder, tucking his thumbs into his pockets as Steve paused his list of everything that was wrong with my house.
Jackson, how's it going?
Steve grinned, and the two reached out to shake hands.
It's going, Jackson answered. Don't stop on my account. I'm dying to know your thoughts, if that's okay, he asked me. Steve did the major reno stuff on my house a few years ago.
I glanced at him and nodded. He'd be subjected to the noise of the remodel, so it seemed like a fair enough trade.
Shit, you did most of that yourself,
Steve countered with a shake of his head.
Now, Ms. Bartley, that list doesn't even touch cosmetic stuff like the kitchen or the flooring. We're just talking about what the house needs in order to survive the next decade. I've always loved this house, and I want it to stay standing. So when I ask you how much money you have, it's not because I'm looking to inflate your invoice. It's because there's going to be a hefty base price, and then you're going to have to decide what upgrades you need versus what you want and what you're willing to pay for.
I definitely want everything you would structurally recommend. The rest, I would scrape and clean and sand it to smooth on my own. If it took years and every penny I had, so be it. There would be one thing in my life that was perfect, that no one could take from me.
What about hurricane-proofing it?
Jackson asked. I definitely want to hear about that. I was used to tornadoes in Alabama, but hurricanes were a whole different ballgame on the coast. Steve nodded.
Sure, if you want to go all out, you could definitely use some reinforcement.
He studied the house quietly for a moment, his eyes darting over the structure.
We'd probably need lifts, but we could drive a steel support alongside the one you have running through the house, but go deeper and change the positions of anchors on your roof when we put on the new one, so it's structurally like those new-built, hurricane-proof ones. But you'd still stay within your legal limits for the remodel. I mean, it's already got those nice faceted lines on the ocean side, which is probably how it stood this long. But you're digging into cost again.
And timeline, I assume, I said with a small smile.
That part isn't too bad. We'd probably get the supports and roof on in about 2 weeks, and we actually have an opening if you want to start, so you can give her a couple different estimates,
Jackson interrupted. I shot him some side eye. Listening in was one thing, but this wasn't a situation where I needed, or wanted, to be rescued.
What?
Jackson shrugged.
Don't you want to know the cost of what has to be done by professionals versus what you can do yourself? Versus what you might like to have done by experts?
Those eyes of his cut right through me in a way that was more than a little unsettling and left me feeling exposed, like I was still standing there in my underwear. Of course, but I can certainly handle my own contractor, I said with a syrup-sweet smile. And if I want to hire Barnum and Bailey to construct my new roof in the shape of a circus tent, I certainly can.
That would actually be awesome. Not only for wind resistance, but for pure visual effect.
He grinned, undermining my entire intent, because I couldn't help but roll my eyes. The man had the damnedest effect on me. Sweet Lord Jackson, go away! You're distracting me! Steve! You're distracting Steve! Clever cover-up, not.
Concentrate harder, Kitty.
He whispered with a shrug and a wink. Then he waved up to Finley, who enthusiastically returned the gesture as she played on the porch. Wait, shit, was he flirting with me? He couldn't flirt with me. I wasn't available for flirting, or laughing, or anything. Had I flirted back? Guilt gripped me by the throat and squeezed. I'd only known this man a handful of days.
Where were we?
Steve asked, glancing at his clipboard. I sucked in a strangled breath and swallowed past the part of my throat that threatened to close up. The last thing I wanted to do in front of Joey or Steve was take the rescue meds I'd been prescribed for acute attacks. I'm fine. This is fine. You were agreeing to work up 3 estimates for me. I stood a little straighter, and Joey smiled, unaware that I'd almost lost it. I'll need one that includes every safety issue you first addressed, then one that includes new flooring, lighting, siding, and removing that wall between the dining and living room, everything I couldn't do myself, and one with the works, whatever you think it needs. Give me details on whatever stormproofing you like. Oh, and I'd love the entire living room to have the ability to retract the windows like one big sliding glass door. With every word, the vice around my neck loosened.
It gets windy around here, Steve remarked.
It's an estimate, not a contract. A girl's got to keep her options open. I quipped so quickly that I almost felt like me for a second.
The edges of Steve's mouth quirked up as he took notes.
Give me a couple days and I'll get the estimates over to you.
He shook our hands, and when he got to mine, his gaze darted toward the truck, which I still hadn't managed to get into the boathouse that would serve as its garage. I'd tried twice after the moving company had unloaded her, but couldn't bring myself to open the driver's door.
Something that big can be a little impractical out here on the islands, unless you're in my line of work. Any chance you're looking to unload it, I'd give you a fair price.
My heart galloped, and every hint of sass that had risen to my surface since the Hello Kitty incident sank like a block of cement in that huge ocean behind me. She's not for sale. The words came out in a strained half-whisper.
Okay, well, if you change your mind...
He turned to talk to Jackson about some upcoming festival or something. I immediately tuned out. I pivoted to look at my house, barely registering when Jackson left for his own. Once Joey started up the stairs, I followed, pausing on the piece of plywood I'd cut myself with the new saw she had recommended I purchase this morning from the only hardware store on the island. Sure, it was a little loose and undeniably imperfect, but it was proof I could do this. I'd be okay when Sam left in a few days. I could repair this house, repair myself. Jackson and Finley raced down the stairs of their house with battle cries, and I looked up in time to see Finley hit Jackson square in the chest with a spray from her massive water gun. Ha! Gotcha! She shouted. He fell to his knees in the sand, exaggerating his death for a moment before spraying her legs when she came in for a second shot. She squealed, taking off through the backyard, and he quickly followed over the dune to the beach. I smiled at how happy they were. It was as simple as that. Sam was right. Here, there were no expectations on how long it took me to recover myself. Here, I could have a moment where I missed Will like hell and still smile a breath later. No one was judging. Here, I could fix my stair. Wait. The board didn't shift those centimeters when I moved my feet like it had this morning. I peered closer and saw that there were a few screws next to the nails I'd hammered in. Screws I knew I hadn't used because I didn't own a drill. Yet. Maybe Joey had guaranteed my handiwork while I'd gone to see Dr. Searcy. It would make sense, seeing as she knew way more about building stuff than I did. I climbed to the deck and looked out over the beach, past the shadows creeping toward the ocean from the late afternoon sun. As Finley sprinted into the water, Jackson ran behind her, grasping her waist and spinning her low enough for her toes to skim the water. I heard her laughter and felt it echo in my chest, somewhere in the vicinity of where I used to think my heart was. I wanted to be that happy, to find joy in something. He turned in my direction, and I knew it was impossible. The distance was too great. But I could have sworn our eyes locked and held for a moment. And as certain as I was that he'd catch Finley when he tossed her up in the air, I knew he'd secured the board. But it didn't make me feel infantilized or undermined. Oh no, it was worse than that. It made me feel protected. And that scared the crap out of me. But that little spark of yearning I felt as I watched Jackson and Finley play in the ocean? That was terrifying.
Maybe it makes me a bitch, but I'm kind of glad everyone left yesterday.
Sam handed me a cup of coffee and sat across from me the next day, stretching her legs out in front of her on the sun-warmed deck. Thanks, I said and took a sip. I am too. I mean, I'm glad they came and I'm thankful, but I've gotten used to quiet. Once Sam had moved out, I hadn't taken another roommate. I'd grown to crave the silent hours I had at home.
Do you want me to go?
I absolutely can, Sam offered. No, please stay. It's different being around you. The wind ruffled the spiral notebook pages next to me. I can stay longer too, you know. She tilted her face at the sun. If you need someone, I'm here. I don't start grad school until the fall, and it's not like Grayson is waiting for me at home in Colorado.
I flinched. She was 2 months into his first deployment. Will hadn't survived his first 2 weeks. How are you holding it all together so well? She squeezed her eyes shut.
I'm not. I miss him like hell, and there's not a second that I'm not scared shitless. I guess I just hide it well. Military brat and all that.
I reached across the distance between us and took her hand. You're the strongest woman I know, Sam.
Look in the mirror sometime.
She stared at me in that way she had, forcing me to accept her words as truth, but I felt anything but strong.
You're going to be happy again, maybe not today or tomorrow, but one day. You know that, right?
I didn't mention Dr. Searcy. Her offer was ludicrous, right?
But what if it wasn't?
What if there was a real chance that I didn't have to feel like this for the rest of my life? But seeing how my luck ran, I was probably one of the 30%.
Maybe I'm one of those people who doesn't get to be happy. Maybe my chance for happy died with Will.
I don't believe that, she whispered. Happy people never do. The sun had barely turned the sky pink over the ocean when I woke the next morning. That same sense of dread hit me that I had to get up, had to move through my day, had to pretend. The heaviness of it all was unbearable. I rolled over on my queen-size mattress and stared at the dark screen of my sleeping laptop. One click, that's all it would take. One click, and I'd see him again. And for those seconds, everything would be all right. My heart lurched, longing for that 10-minute eternity where he was still alive. But I wouldn't stay for only 10 minutes. All it would take was that first click, the sound of his voice, and I wouldn't leave this bed all day. Some days I won, some days I lost. Today was a coin toss, and I needed to call it in the air. You're going to be happy again. Sam's words from yesterday rang in my ears, but there wasn't any happiness for me outside the video I'd seen thousands of times. I rubbed my chest, like that would somehow take away the pain, but it never left. Why wasn't I okay when everyone else was? How long could I possibly live like this, fighting with myself over Will's memory before I even got out of bed? I know we can lessen some of the pain you're in, but Dr. Searcy couldn't. Or could she? But what would happen if I tried her way and failed? Nothing could possibly feel worse than you do now. And then there was the unthinkable. What would happen if I tried her way and it worked? Was there honestly a chance? Probably not. I tried to squash the tiny flame of hope that had flared to life in my chest, but it kept whispering, maybe. I ran my finger along the top of my laptop. Will would have called me all sorts of names for not having the courage to try. He would want me to try. He would have wanted me to watch that video once, not use it as a lullaby for 22 months. He would have wanted me to get out of bed and try, even if I failed. Maybe I couldn't be as happy as Jackson and Finley, spinning around in the ocean, but maybe. Just maybe I could hurt a little less. I slammed my laptop closed, my feet hit the floor, and 5 minutes later I turned the key in the ignition of my Mini Cooper, still dressed in my pajamas. By 6:25, I was parked outside Dr. Searcy's office. She arrived at 7:15, her eyes flying wide when she found me sitting on the wooden steps that led to her office.
I don't want to feel like this for the rest of my life, I admitted before she could ask me what the hell I was doing there.
You don't have to. She said softly, moving her bag to her other shoulder and sitting next to me on the step.
You really, honestly think you can help me?
She reached over and took my hand. I do. Now do you think you can find someone to be your support person? This really works better with one.
I nodded, a slight smile curving my lips. Yeah. I just need to buy a few cases of peppermint mocha coffee creamer as bribery before I ask her.
Chapter 4. Jackson. Hey, Jax. Connor's looking for the volleyball,
Cassidy told me, flipping her blonde hair over her shoulder.
Oh, hi, Bree.
Bree gave her a half wave from where she stood, leaned back against my kitchen counter. So much like Claire. And yet, the two couldn't have been more different. They'd been Irish twins, Claire older by 11 months. But Bree had always acted like the older sister. It's in the garage, second shelf, right-hand side. And tell your husband the N.A. beer is in this one. I know he's on call tonight. I told Cassidy before pouring the bag of ice into the cooler. The heat wave had weekend temps pushing 80, which meant it was time for the first Sunday barbecue of the season.
Man, it's weird to be here when Finley isn't,
Bree said, swinging a bag of beach towels over her shoulder. Yeah, but it's your mom's weekend, and I know how they both live for it. Finley adored her grandmother. Hell, we both did. Vivian filled the massive shoes left empty not just by Claire, but by the three other grandparents Finn was missing.
How is the nanny working out?
So far, so good. I know your mom wasn't keen on Finn spending so much time with a stranger.
Look, Jax, your job is utterly unpredictable. You never know if you'll get a call or if a shift will run late. You have no say in what happens out there.
She motioned toward the ocean.
Mom's not taking care of her diabetes the way she should, and she's getting older. She's not up for those late-night drop-offs anymore. You absolutely did the right thing hiring Sarah.
I closed the lid on the cooler. She's still pissed about it? Bree cringed.
Well, she did go off on Claire for a good 20 minutes this morning.
My stomach cramped. Claire's here?
Oh, no. Bree's eyebrows shot up. I meant on the phone. They still talk every Saturday.
My jaw flexed and I bit back every remark that came to mind, like how fucking ludicrous it was that Claire talked to her mother every week when she hadn't bothered to call Finley in the last 2 months. How is she? I managed to ask. It wasn't Bree's fault that Claire was... Well, Claire.
She's good. Still in L.A., wanting to see if the last pilot she did gets picked up.
Pilot. Right. How many was that now?
She really does miss Finley. You too, of course.
Her lips pressed into a thin line. Yeah, misses her so much that she's seen her once in the last 8 months. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath to calm the ever-present rage that boiled to my surface whenever I thought about the way Claire treated Finn. You know what? Let's not do this. Bree forced a quick smile.
Good idea. Let's get down to the barbecue, she suggested, moving to hold the door open.
Yeah, let's get out there. I latched the cooler and lifted its heavy weight, then headed out of the house and down the stairs with Bree following close behind. My gaze caught on the massive F-250 parked outside Morgan's boathouse. Sam, her last house guest, had left 2 days ago, and I hadn't seen the truck or her Mini Cooper budge. None of your business. Except I'd gone and made it my business the minute I'd rescued her over a week ago. But what the hell else was I supposed to have done? Left her stranded with her Hello Kitties blowing in the breeze, half in and half out of her staircase? Maybe if she hadn't fallen through the wood, if Finn hadn't heard her yell, if I hadn't raced out there to dislodge her, I would have had a prayer's chance of ignoring my new neighbor. Sure, until you saw her or heard her speak. Yeah, there was nothing ignorable about Morgan Bartley, which was really damned inconvenient. Not that I was going to act on that attraction. Hell no. My life was complicated enough without messing around with someone I had to see on a daily basis. Morgan was off limits, which didn't really matter because something told me she wasn't emotionally available anyway, even if she had called me pretty.
Thanks for inviting me,
Bree said, jarring me from my thoughts as we reached the ground.
You saved me from tagging along to the shipwreck museum for the 100th time.
You're Finley's aunt. You're always invited. I reminded her for the 1,000th time since we brought Finn home from the hospital. I paused by the wooden gate that separated my backyard from the path to the dune and looked up at Morgan's house, unable to let go of the nagging feeling in my chest that I needed to check on her. Need a hand? Sawyer asked as he came up behind me, the volleyball under his arm. No, I'm good, I told him. You sure? You look a little scrawny to handle that. He motioned to the cooler. Fuck off. I spent a hell of a lot of my downtime at work running and lifting, refusing to give in to the dad bod, as Sawyer once implied. You can barely handle that ball. Speaking of which, you ready to get your ass kicked? Never going to happen, I smirked at my best friend. Movement in Morgan's window caught my eye. My attention drifted to her house, to her, again. Had she seen sunlight since her friend left? You know what, why don't you take Bree to the party? I'll be there in a second.
No problem. I can wait for you.
I put the cooler down by the edge of the deck. Bree, go ahead. I'm going to invite my new neighbor over. Go have some fun. Bree rolled her eyes at Sawyer's offered arm and took off up the path.
Prickly as a cactus, that one, Sawyer remarked as she disappeared over the dune. I swear she hates everyone but you and Finn.
Nope, just you. And she's family, which Finn is in short supply of.
She coming back tonight? He asked. Kinda miss your little urchin.
Sawyer acted all tough until faced with a certain redhead. Then he was pretty much butter, just like every other guy we worked with. Tomorrow. It's Vivian's weekend, and it's a 3-day weekend for the preschool.
Seriously? We could hit up McGinty's tonight and catch the end of spring break crowd. Or you could break your not-in-my-house rule for one of the ladies currently stripping down to their bikinis over the dune 50 feet away while we stand here where we can't see said bikinis.
He raised his eyebrows. One, I never break the house rule. My daughter lives in that house, jackass. Two, I'll be there in a second.
Yeah, okay. You go invite your new neighbor, and I'll see you down there. You sure you don't want me to bring the cooler down? I'd hate for you to injure your back. Old age is a bitch.
You're exactly 2 months younger than I am, I reminded him.
I figure Finley's aged you at least a year for every one of hers, so that makes you 5 years older, right? She just turned 5? Man, you'll be pushing 40 soon if you don't watch it.
I can't wait until you have kids so I can dish all of this shit right back at you, I called as he headed up the path.
Never going to happen, he retorted and disappeared toward the party.
A steady beat dropped as Imagine Dragons came on the speakers. At least Garrett got those working. I took a steadying breath for the battle that was no doubt about to ensue with Morgan and crossed the yard to her stairs. Pausing on the landing, I bounced a little, testing it. Good. The screws had held. No doubt she'd give me shit for sticking my nose in where it didn't belong, and she'd be absolutely correct. I had zero right interfering with her contractor, her staircase, or her life in general. That hadn't seemed to stop me, though. It wasn't her looks that had me climbing her stairs. It was that smile that didn't reach her eyes. It was the way the other girls had moved closer, flanking her as if they knew she was one step away from crumbling. The way she'd gone white as a ghost when Steve had asked her about selling the truck. The way she stood on her deck in the mornings and stared out at the ocean with sad eyes, and her arms wrapped around her waist while I drank my coffee unnoticed on my own. That girl had some damage, and it ran deep. Like calls to like. But when I riled her up, a spark lit in her eyes, which told me she wasn't completely broken. I knocked on her door and waited. About 2 minutes later, I did it again. Another went by, and I knocked harder. My overactive imagination pictured her lying injured somewhere. Before I could knock again, the door swung open, and Morgan openly glared at me. Her hair was piled on her head in a casually sexy knot, her face free of any makeup that could cover her flawless skin, and she was dressed in plaid pajama pants and a loose t-shirt that proclaimed that good grammar was sexy.
"What could you possibly want, Jackson?"
Jackson. I liked the way she said it, refusing to drop the formality and call me Jax, like it was an actual barrier to keep me from her. Too bad she didn't realize her voice had the opposite effect. That drawl was more addictive than the sugar they laced the tea with around here. Well, shit. It had been years since I'd been floored by a woman, and that's exactly what this was, wasn't it? Fucking inconvenient. When's the last time you left the house? She folded her arms under her breasts.
Why does it matter?
You might only be a beard short of a full-blown recluse. She arched an eyebrow at me.
Maybe I like being a recluse. Besides, I'm enjoying the last day in my house since I have to move out tomorrow.
You're moving out tomorrow? What the hell?
Just for a couple of weeks while they jack up the house and drive in new pilings, place the center support and pop a new roof on.
Relief I had no business feeling hit me all the same. So you picked a contractor? She nodded.
Steve gave me some good estimates, and he had this window open up. Plus, he swears I'll only be out for 2 weeks.
Then you definitely need a little fun. I'm having a barbecue. You don't even have to get dressed. I motioned my head toward the beach. Just a few friends? Come hang out with us.
Just a few friends?
Yep, give or take a guest or two. We like to barbecue on Sundays, and looking at the forecast, this is going to be the best weekend for about a month.
Sunday barbecues.
She softened, her shoulders relaxed, and her lower lip found its way between her teeth.
You're tempted. Come on, kitty, take it one step further. Come down to the beach.
You don't have to stay long or even talk to me. There's about a dozen other people you could meet. Humans, vitamin D, hamburgers, maybe a beer. Live dangerously. A corner of her mouth lifted and a spark flared in her eyes. Victory.
I guess it would be rather unneighborly to turn you down.
A downright affront to Southern hospitality, I confirmed, internally swearing at the jolt of awareness that punched me in the stomach when she gifted me with a full smile. Why couldn't a nice middle-aged guy buy this house? Why didn't I get another older retired couple who I'd wave to at the odd times I saw them? Or better, why couldn't Morgan be ignorable? Just normal. But hell no. She was a knockout. Stubborn, funny, nice to Finn, with a gorgeous face, soft brown hair, legs for fucking days, and a smile that might actually control the tides if it would appear twice a day. That's who I got as a neighbor. About as ignorable as a nuclear detonation. Not that I was doing much to keep clear of the blast radius.
Okay, let me throw a suit on and I'll meet you down there.
Or how about I wait right here outside while you put one on and then I walk you down, I offered. She scoffed, narrowing her eyes.
You don't think I'll show?
Would you actually? I challenged.
Probably not,
she admitted with a scrunched nose. Exactly. I leaned back against the deck railing, feeling it burn against my t-shirt. I'll wait right here.
Hopefully the banister holds up.
She rolled her eyes and shut the door. The song changed twice before she opened her door again, wearing a tank top and shorts with a halter top tie showing in her neckline. Her beach bag was slung over her shoulder, and her sunglasses ate up about half of her face.
This doesn't mean I'm giving up my recluse status,
she told me over her shoulder as she skipped down the steps with me hot on her heels. Of course not. This is a heat wave miracle. She shook her head at me, but I saw those lips lift briefly as we crossed to my backyard. I lifted the cooler and didn't miss the way her eyes widened as her gaze dropped to my arms, then darted away. She cleared her throat.
Need help?
Nope, lead the way. I motioned toward the path. She held the gate open for me and then closed it once we were through.
So, who all is here?
She asked, then cringed.
A silly question, like I even know anyone on this island.
We crested the dune, and I scanned over the party as the unblocked breeze off the ocean hit us full force. Mostly guys I work with and a few friends.
This is not a few friends,
I said, give or take some guests. She shot me a look and I grinned. The volleyball net was up, with a game in full swing. Sawyer and Garrett held down one side with a couple of mechanics, and Goodwin was teamed up with Cassidy, Thornton, and a few local girls on the other. Beach chairs surrounded the area, and the grill was already fired up and manned by Moreno.
What is it with volleyball in the Outer Banks?
She muttered as we descended the dune steps. What?
Nothing. It's all very Top Gun.
She motioned to the game and, no doubt, the shirtless guys. Except we're not fighter pilots or covered in baby oil. I could probably hook us up with some highway to the danger zone if you want, though. We reached the bottom of the dune and started toward the grill. The sand burned my feet where it poured into my slides, hot but not scalding.
Damn, and I was hoping you were going to offer the baby oil.
My eyebrows rose with appreciation at her quick comeback.
What do you guys do anyway?
She asked, pausing to slip off her flip-flops. Heads up! Garrett shouted. My head snapped toward the game just in time to see the volleyball on a collision course with Morgan's head. I dropped the cooler and swung my hand out. The ball hit my palm with a slap before Morgan even removed her second shoe, its momentum reversing and sending it into the sand. Morgan gasped, her eyes wide when she met mine. You okay? I asked, shaking the sting out of my hand.
Well, yeah. I'm not the one who hit the ball or dropped a cooler on her foot.
She glanced down and then looked at me like I was an idiot.
Are you okay?
That explained why the toes on my right foot were a little pissed off. Perfectly fine. I grasped the plastic handles of the cooler and got it off my foot. Sweet relief swept over the little digits when the pressure was removed. Luckily, the sand had taken most of the impact.
Doesn't look like anything's broken, but I'm not exactly a doctor.
Morgan drawled as she dropped down to examine at my foot. I've been through worse.
Well, thank you,
she said, coming to a stand.
But I'm sorry you got hurt.
Perfectly fine, I repeated like a puppet with a pulled string.
Those are some serious reflexes you've got there,
she said as we walked the rest of the way to the grill where the sand firmed up. Having a 5-year-old daughter will keep you on your toes. I deposited the cooler in the sand and slapped Moreno on the back. How about I take over and you can go give Garrett and Sawyer a hand? They're getting their asses kicked. Moreno laughed but handed over the spatula. Yeah, I'll go save their precious little egos. You got this? Absolutely. I opened the cooler and fished a beer out of the ice as Moreno joined the volleyball game. Want one? I asked Morgan. She peeked around my shoulder at the selection.
I'd love a Coke, please.
I plunged my hand into the ice again and pulled out a Coke, brushing off tiny bits of ice from the top before handing it over.
Thank you,
she said quietly, popping the top as I used the bottle opener I'd installed on the edge of the grill.
So, where is Finley?
A smile tugged at the corners of my mouth. Most women who ended up at our barbecues never thought to ask about my daughter unless she was actually there. She's with her grandmother. I took a swallow of the cold beer and flipped over the first row of hamburgers.
Oh.
Her forehead wrinkled as she watched the game, rotating the silver tab on her soda from time to time. I nearly laughed. She looked so conflicted. You can ask, you know. I'm pretty open, I offered, flipping the second row of burgers.
Is she with her grandmother often?
She chanced to look at me. Vivian takes her a week and a month. It gives them some girl time.
And you a little off time?
She asked, no judgment in her tone. Yeah, I guess. Lets me get stuff done, take a weekend shift at work.
And have Sunday barbecues?
She noted with a smile as she reached for the package of cheese slices on the grill's side table.
Want me to unwrap?
That'd be great, thanks. I glanced past Morgan to see Sawyer and Garrett headed this way. Okay, forgive whatever comes out of these idiots' mouths. They know not what they speak, but they are my best friends. I warned before they appeared on either side of her.
Got it,
she nodded, already placing cheese slices on an empty plastic plate.
You couldn't help us out there?
Sawyer accused me, then promptly assessed Morgan while she wasn't looking. Asshole. Hey, I sent Moreno, I answered, bringing his attention back to me. Ignore him. He's whiny today, Garrett said, pointing to Sawyer. Burgers smell good, though. Morgan glanced at them both and finished peeling the cheese. A tiny, okay, huge pang of satisfaction smacked my chest that she hadn't lingered on either of my friends the way she had when I'd run past her that first morning. Garrett, Sawyer, this is my new neighbor, Morgan, I introduced them.
Nice to meet you.
Her voice was soft, but her smile was fake. She was missing the little crinkles next to her eyes that had appeared when she'd smiled a few minutes earlier.
Nice to meet you, Sawyer poured on the charm. Where did you get that delicious accent?
So subtle, Garrett mumbled.
Isn't it the same as around here?
She asked. Not even close, I answered, and was rewarded with her attention.
Yours is deeper. Don't give me that look. It's not a bad thing. It's pretty great, actually.
She smiled, the crinkles appearing at the edges of her eyes, and I mentally fist-bumped.
Southern Alabama, she answered. I guess I never realized it was that much stronger. Y'all don't even have accents.
That's because I'm from Oregon, Sawyer said, like it made him foreign or something. West Coast.
For fuck's sake, it was Oregon, not Brazil.
And you?
She asked me.
Maine.
My God, could you get any farther north?
Not without becoming Canadian.
Or Alaskan,
Sawyer suggested, stepping closer to Morgan.
That would still be American, jackass, Garrett interjected.
The two started trading insults, and Morgan stepped backward and picked up her beach bag.
You know, that water looks pretty great. I'm gonna sneak away if that's okay with you boys.
Boys? My eyebrows hit my hairline. Between that and pretty, I didn't know if I should be charmed or offended. Her hands twisted in the strap of her bag, and I nodded in understanding when she caught my eye. Enjoy your alone time. Just a warning, the water's still freezing.
Doesn't seem to bother you?
Well, yeah, but I swim it every day.
Part penguin. Gotcha. I'll watch my toes for frostbite.
She flashed me a quick smile and practically ran toward the water.
That's your neighbor? I mean, holy shit, I'm going to move in,
Sawyer said, grabbing his chest in dramatics. It's a two-bedroom house, I reminded him, slapping cheese on half the burgers.
I'll take the couch. I won't eat much, I swear.
Do you ever not think with your dick? Garrett asked, reaching for a beer.
Nope, Sawyer answered. Why would I when it has the best ideas?
Man, those smell good,
Bree said as she came to stand next to Sawyer. They're just about done. My words died in my mouth. 20 feet ahead of us, Morgan peeled off her shirt, revealing two straps of a halter top around her back and neck, and was now sliding her shorts over her hips, exposing a cobalt blue bikini bottom that cut straight across her hips.
God bless the South, Sawyer muttered.
Once her shorts hit the sand, she bent over, that incredible ass in the air as she retrieved her clothes.
Seriously?
Bree asked, her exasperation clear at the open male ogling.
Okay, that is a gorgeous woman, Garrett admitted.
Apparently we were all watching the same show. Morgan's arms arched above her head as she twisted her hair around her hand and somehow got it back into a bun.
Fuck me.
She was perfect. Lithe, yet still ridiculously curved in every place my hands itched to touch.
Jax, Bree chided.
I'll be over there,
Sawyer declared his intent, his eyes on Morgan. He didn't even make it a step in Morgan's direction before my arm snapped out sideways, blocking his path.
No.
But,
he looked at me like I'd killed his puppy.
No, I repeated, making sure he understood.
Whoa.
His eyes widened and his mouth dropped open.
What?
I snapped.
You calling dibs?
Jesus Christ, are we in junior high?
Garrett asked.
Jax!
Bree's annoyance registered somewhere in the back of my mind.
She's a woman, Sawyer, not a pre-K snack you lick and say it's yours.
My eyes found their way back to where Morgan walked into the water reaching her knees.
Well, seems like you want a licker,
Sawyer teased. I shot him a quick glare and watched Morgan sink to her hips in the Atlantic.
I mean in a calling dibs kind of way.
Well, and the other way. Every way, really, from what I can tell by looking at you.
Smugness practically oozed out of his voice.
But I mean, if you're not interested,
he shrugged.
Jax!
Bree called, her voice sharper this time. I put my finger up, wordlessly asking her to wait a second.
Don't even talk about licking her, I warned Sawyer. Oh, shit. Montgomery is going primal,
Garrett laughed.
This is getting good.
Sawyer shrugged.
I'm cool with it. I haven't seen you legitimately interested in a woman since.
His eyes hit the sand, and I saw Bree tense in my peripherals.
It's not like that, I protested, my eyes narrowing when I saw waves breaking on either side of Morgan, but not in front of her.
Jax!
Bree shouted.
What?
I didn't take my eyes off Morgan, hair rising at the back of my neck.
You're burning the burgers!
Shit. Morgan was exactly where she shouldn't be and getting deeper. I shoved the spatula at Garrett's chest, kicked off my flip-flops and broke into a dead run as a bigger wave receded, pulling the water off the beach. My shirt was off 2 strides later.
Morgan!
I called out, my pulse kicking up a notch. She looked back at me over her shoulder and moved forward, the water already tugging at her. It was waist deep, but she was easily 20 feet offshore on the sandbar.
Move over!
I pointed north, my feet hitting the water, which immediately slowed my progress. She startled but moved as the water swept past her and was already in the safety zone before I reached her. My hands gripped her shoulders.
God, woman, it's like you're determined to find every possible way to injure yourself.
What's wrong? You scared the bejesus out of me,
she snapped, like I was the one in the wrong.
Hell yes I did. You were standing in a riptide zone. Any deeper and I would have been showing off my Baywatch moves. My fingers tensed on her skin, but I was careful not to squeeze, to shake, to let my emotions manifest physically.
What?
She looked back to where she'd just been.
There's no sign or anything.
What? I held her steady as a wave swept by, bringing the water up past my waist. Right, because we didn't put one out. Adrenaline pumped through my system, and I concentrated on keeping my words even and soft. The ocean was an unforgiving bitch who didn't give a fuck about signs. You broke her rules, she ate you whole, and sometimes she changed the rules just for fun.
Why would we put one out?
Her forehead puckered. Because we own the beach, at least up to the tide line. Understanding dawned. You've never been on a private beach, have you? She shook her head.
Always public.
I blew my breath out in a long sigh. This girl was going to be the death of me. Okay, do you know how to recognize a riptide?
No, otherwise I wouldn't have been headed for one.
Her eyebrow arched and the tension drained out of my muscles as I fought the urge to laugh. Of course she would throw sass at me right after I saved her ass. Again. Okay, let me show you. I let go of her shoulders and moved to stand next to her as another wave washed by, rising against our bodies. It's easier to see from shore, but watch the waves break. See how they break over there and here, but not in that center area? I stepped behind her and pointed, my arm grazing her cheek so she could follow easily. Her head came to the perfect height. She'd be able to rest it in the hollow of my shoulder if she turned around. It would be ridiculously easy to kiss her. Nope. No. Not happening. Stop it.
I see,
she said, nodding her head. I immediately dropped my arm. Right, so that area in the center doesn't have any waves breaking because that's where the ocean sucks the water back out quickly, hence the term riptide. She spun, looking up at me with a perplexed look on her face. Yep, I'd been right. She'd fit snugly against me, and I wouldn't even have to bend far to get my mouth. I took a step back and hoped I wasn't obvious as hell.
But I was out in that exact spot when I found the sea glass.
The sea glass? I repeated like an idiot. What was this, high school? I was 16 again, getting caught staring at Stacy Anderson during English instead of paying attention. Except Morgan was 10 times more... everything than Stacy had been.
Right, the day you pulled your Aquaman stunt?
She folded her arms under her breasts, pushing the curves up. I didn't look. I deserve fucking sainthood because that qualified as a miracle. Aquaman?
Stop repeating what she says, you moron. You know when you came out of the ocean all Lord of the Fish or whatever, and then started jogging? Though I honestly thought you looked more like Captain America at the time. Still kind of do, actually.
She tilted her head in clear appraisal of my features. The day I first saw you?
You remember that? It was only a few seconds.
Goosebumps rose on her arms, but I'd barely registered the water's temperature until right now. It was way worse last month, but it was still good and chilled in here. Yes, clear as day. How the hell could I not? It was the only time I'd ever seen her completely unguarded, her emotions on full display. I mean, it might not have been as colorful an impression as the one you made later that day, but yes, I knew it was you. A blush stung her cheeks, and she mumbled something about burning that pair of underwear. Sea glass, huh? I asked to get both of our minds off her underwear. She nodded.
I found the prettiest blue piece. I love that something plain like a broken jam jar can be transformed by the cold salt water and rough sand over years and years. Kind of like what hurts actually refines it, if that makes any sense.
Another piece of the puzzle that was Morgan clicked into place. This woman knew pain, and not just in a general sense. It was the very real, raw, intimate way that changed a person, refined them like the sea glass. It makes all the sense in the world, my voice dropped, as if it couldn't physically support the weight of the charged air between us. I swallowed, my throat a little tighter than usual. That day we were at a low tide. You were standing on the same sandbar you are now, but there was no water. The best time to find sea glass, actually. The next time we're both around at low tide, I'll show you how to spot where the rips will be when the tide comes back.
Thank you. It would be nice to get through a week where you don't have to come to my rescue.
She rubbed the tops of her arms quickly.
I don't mind, I assured her. And I appreciate that, but I do mind.
Her words were soft, taking the sting out of what felt a little like rejection.
I need to know I can stand on my own. It's why I moved here. Why I chose a house that looks like Morticia Adams did the exterior design.
Okay, I'd give her that one.
So if I can get through a week where I don't nearly get myself killed, stuck, or struck in the head by something that you need to rescue me from, that would be a great start.
Got it. Funny, my need to rescue was as deep as her need to not be rescued.
I'm going to start right now by getting out of the water, because once again you were right and I think my toes are turning blue. But I am going to let you feed me.
That smile was back, giving me that same punch in the gut. Shit. I think I may have burned the burgers. I didn't tell her why. She shrugged and tossed a grin over her shoulder as she walked away.
I'll take my chances. Thanks for the rescue, though. Now let's hope you don't have to play the hero again,
she teased.
It's almost like you have a complex.
You have no idea, I muttered to myself, waiting until she was on the beach before trudging my way out of the water, getting some much-needed space to clear my head. I yanked my shirt over my head, grimacing when it stuck to the wet skin of my stomach and lower back.
Go ahead and say it,
Sawyer handed me a plate with a burger ready on it. Say what? I took the plate and dressed my burger, noting that Morgan had found a seat in a camping chair next to Garrett.
Then I was right. You're interested in her,
he smirked. I glared.
Hey, I'm all for it. I'll even wingman you. What can I do? Talk you up? Brag about your list of achievements and qualities? Come on, let me have your back for once.
God, please don't. She's obviously going through a tough time, and I'm just trying to be a good neighbor. Right? Right.
Oh, shit. She's a wounded bird. That's like your fucking catnip.
I have no clue what you're talking about. He snorted.
Seriously? Is there not a three-legged guinea pig, a blind turtle, and a one-finned fish living in your house right now?
Those belong to Finley. She likes to rescue helpless pets. I shrugged.
Right. And who exactly let her bring them home?
He stared at me, his eyebrows nearly hitting his hairline. I blinked, then cursed.
This is going to be fun to watch,
he said before cramming his face with his own burger and walking off toward Morgan and Garrett. There's nothing to watch, I called after him. He gave me a thumbs up and kept walking.
Really, Jax?
I paused mid-ketchup and found Bree staring up at me with crossed arms and concerned eyes. What?
You really think it's a good idea to start something with your neighbor? To bring a stranger around Finley? Let alone one who lives next door?
Start what? First, I'm not starting anything, Bree. And second, if I was starting something, it wouldn't be any of your business. I tried like hell to soften my tone, but given the way she'd tensed, I hadn't been successful.
It sure is hell my business who spends time around my niece.
Something foul curdled in my stomach. My daughter. Don't start with me, Bree.
Sorry. I just think Claire
lost any rights she had regarding who I spend time with the day she walked out on us. She sucked in a deep breath and blinked a few times, finally forcing a smile.
Just don't turn your neighbor into a stage 5 clinger, especially since I have to work with her.
You work with her? My gaze flickered toward Morgan.
Yep. She came into the school 2 days ago to pick up some paperwork. She's the new 5th grade teacher, my counterpart next year. So if you can't keep your dick in your pants for Finley's sake, please consider me.
She shot me a look that could have had about a dozen meanings, none of them good, and walked off toward a group of mutual friends. I made a mental note to ask Vivian what had set her off today.
So Morgan was a teacher. I could see that.
I took my food over to where Morgan sat with Garrett and Sawyer. She flashed me a smile and motioned to the empty chair, then took another bite of her burger. It's not burned? I asked.
Totally is. You should stick to saving people because barbecue isn't your talent.
She teased once she'd swallowed, but that didn't stop her from polishing it off.
Say it,
Sawyer whispered from next to me. I watched Morgan laugh at something Garrett said.
It was small, but there and honest. I couldn't wait to see who she'd be once she fully came out of her shell. Fuck. I should back the hell away from her. Bree was right in a way. Morgan was my neighbor. Starting anything with her could bring a shit ton of awkwardness to my door that I didn't need, that Finley definitely didn't need. I should have moved over to that group of women hanging out with the mechanics and picked up someone who didn't live next door. Someone who didn't need me to explain riptides or push her out of a decaying staircase. Someone who didn't wear red Hello Kitty underwear that I still couldn't get out of my head. Mental note, throw away all Finn's Hello Kitty stuff. I should have walked the hell away. Morgan gathered up her things and slipped into her clothes before walking toward me.
My 30 minutes are up. Time to turn back into a recluse.
Her tone was teasing, but her eyes weren't. Okay. I'm glad you came down.
I am too. Thank you for the invite.
She slid her sunglasses on, and I immediately lost the ability to read her. Anytime. She gave me a half smile and a nod, then walked away. My eyes followed her until she disappeared over the dune.
Say it, Sawyer repeated, this time singing his command quietly. Call dibs.
Fuck off. But we both knew he was right. I was interested. Now I just had to decide if I was going to act on it or not.
Chapter 5. Morgan. I know you. You've always been so good at holding it all together. I know you'll pick up the pieces. The construction noise overtook Mama's voice as I pulled into my driveway. There were two huge cranes and several smaller vehicles surrounding my house. And that doesn't even start to address my worrying about hurricane season, Mama chirped. Mama, I'm so sorry, but I gotta cut this short. I can barely hear you with all the clamor going on at my house. I pulled the Mini into the spot on the other side of the boathouse and put her in park. Okay, honey. Just think about what I said, okay? It can't be good for you to be all the way out there by yourself. You really need to be home, where we can take care of you and help you move on. Being out there is just going to let you dwell on it when you really need to pick up and push on with your life. Her intentions were good, and her demands so not. Okay, Mama, I'll keep that in mind, I promise, and I'm not alone. Sam is spending most of the summer with me. There was zero chance in hell I was moving back to Enterprise, but I wasn't even opening that can of worms with her. Steve waved to me from the table he'd set up across from Will's truck. I'm relieved to hear that, but still, two young girls. Mama, I really have to go. I killed the ignition and reminded myself not to snap at the woman who had given me life. Please do, baby. I'd even come help move you out. Love you. Just think about it. Love you too. Bye now. I hung up before she could launch into another 10-minute tirade about why being here was the completely wrong thing for me. I could devote an entire chapter in the journal Dr. Searcy had given me yesterday to Mama's well-meaning control issues. The weather had chilled since this weekend, but was still warm enough that the breeze didn't bite at my legs too hard as I walked over to Steve's makeshift command center. He gave me the quick rundown. The house was up on jacks. Giant holes had been cut next to the existing center support of the house, and they were preparing to drill both the new foundation pilings and the center support into the sand. 27 feet deep, I remarked.
27, he confirmed. A storm can easily swipe away a good 6 feet of the current ground level. Opting for the composite pilings was incredibly smart of you. They're stronger than concrete or steel.
And more expensive, I muttered. If the house drained my bank account, so be it. I never wanted the money anyway.
Honestly, spend the money on the structure. No one gives a shit if you have granite counters when the next Cat 4 comes in.
He shrugged. True. Are we still on time for moving back in? My chest tightened in anticipation. Not that I wasn't enjoying the B&B in Cape Hatteras, but I wanted back into my house. He ran his finger down his calendar, then nodded.
10 more days. Maybe sooner, if the weather holds. We're set to start drilling in about 30 minutes. Once we get her resettled on the new pilings and the new roof secured, you're more than welcome to live in a construction zone.
So fast, I remarked.
Not going to lie, I'm pushing my team so we can fit you in between projects. We won't be able to start anything on the interior until we finish a job in Frisco.
Perfect. You can come in and fix whatever I've messed up by then.
He chuckled and slid a binder across the table. Have you thought about colors for the exterior?
What color would Will have wanted had this been our house? Probably the dark blue or even the gray. Classic. Stately.
She's here!
A high voice shouted with glee. Jackson's door slammed shut, and I heard the fast pitter-pat of what had to be Finley's feet coming down the steps. I looked over and waved as she raced across the small space that separated our houses.
Hi, Miss Morgan!
Finn grinned up at me, and I couldn't help but return it. She was like living, breathing joy. The contagious kind. And even I wasn't immune.
Well, hi there, Miss Finley. You got here just in time to help me look at paint colors.
I pulled Steve's vacant stool over and gave the seat a pat.
I can help?
Finn asked, already climbing onto the stool and setting a bright orange walkie-talkie on the table.
Well, I get the final say, but I could definitely use your opinion, seeing as you'll have to see it every day, too. Hmm.
She touched her chin thoughtfully as she flipped through the laminated pages of colors.
I like the bright ones.
I looked over her shoulder to see swatches of bright pastels in yellow, purple, teal, and blue.
You don't think we should go with something like your house?
A quick glance confirmed my memory. Jackson's house was white with thick gray trim, and the man himself was walking toward the back gate with a bag slung over his shoulder. My belly fluttered, and I put my hand over the waistband of my shorts. Not for you, I reminded myself, and jerked my eyes away from his retreating frame. Going to his barbecue had been good for me. Even Dr. Searcy said so. But I wasn't about to let myself start needing the reprieve being around him somehow gave me.
My bed is yellow, like happy sunshine. Your house could be sunshine, too.
She nodded enthusiastically.
A lot of the houses out here are bright colors you don't find in the city, Steve agreed.
I eyed the teal swatch. The color was gorgeous. But what would Will have?
Calling Finn Montgomery. This is Daddy Montgomery. Over,
Jackson said through Finn's walkie-talkie. Even his voice was attractive, clear and deep. He wasn't in the yard anymore, so where was he calling her from? Finn grabbed the device and grinned.
Hi, Daddy.
You didn't say over, over,
he teased. She giggled and the sound slipped inside my heart.
Don't forget your mission, over,
Jackson said.
Oh, right, over.
She turned to me with expectation in her eyes.
I'm supposed to tell you that it's low tide. So come eat.
She nodded with a smile, satisfied that she'd delivered her message.
Eat at 3:45 in the afternoon? I questioned.
I like snacks,
she told me matter-of-factly. Good point.
Where are we supposed to go?
To the beach. Daddy's there.
The fluttering in my belly quickened, and I mentally cursed myself. It had only been 4 days since I'd seen Jackson at the barbecue. He'd been at work when I'd stopped by to check on the house, and I didn't attempt to stalk him or make myself obviously available. Because I wasn't. Even joking with myself that I might be available was cruel, but I didn't have the heart to deny those big brown eyes looking at me beseechingly. Guess I was a masochist. Because I stuck my hand out to take Finley's. Okay, we'll go.
Yay!
She pressed the button on the side of the walkie-talkie.
Daddy Montgomery, she said yes. Over.
Good work, Finn. See you soon. Over.
When do you need my answer on the colors? I asked Steve as Finn hopped down from her seat.
If you want us to throw the siding on before the Frisco job, then I'll need it in the next couple of days so I can get everything here.
He smiled at Finley. Say hi to your dad for me.
Sure thing,
she answered. I'll think it over, I told him, my eyes drawn back to the teal, even though I knew that was the most ridiculous, ostentatious choice I could make. We said our goodbyes as Steve headed toward the cranes hovering over my house. Hand in hand, Finn and I steered clear of the construction, then crossed over the dune to the beach. Jackson had a blanket spread out on the sand, anchored at the corners with a small cooler and a few rocks. Stop getting all gooey. It's not a date. Ugh, did he have to look so good? He walked over to meet us, barefoot in swim trunks, the wind ruffling his hair and plastering his t-shirt against his carved by Michelangelo body. You made a picnic? I asked, hoping my voice didn't sound as breathless to him as it did to me. What the hell was wrong with me? He wasn't the first attractive man I'd been around since everything happened. But he was the first I was attracted to, that was for sure. Don't get excited. It's just snacks,